Welcome to the Troy Thompson Leadership Podcast. This is your host, Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you tuned in today. Listen, it is my greatest passion to empower leaders to create a more hopeful culture and to lead with passion and relevancy for their generation. I trust that today's podcast will encourage you, will equip you, and will empower you as you go out and create a vibrant culture that perpetuates hope and growth wherever you are. Let's tune in.
After putting their three-year-old child, Brian, in bed, his parents heard muffled sobs coming from his room one night. Rushing back in, they found the child was crying hysterically. When he saw them, he told his parents that he had accidentally swallowed a penny and he was sure he was going to die. The father, in an attempt to calm him down, took out a penny from his pocket and pretended to pull it out of his ear. The child was so thrilled, he stopped crying, and in a flash, he snatched the penny from his father's hand, swallowed it, then cheerfully demanded, "Father, do it again." When Caleb was a little boy, I don't think this is church worthy. He was taking a bath. He had a little boat in... The little boat disappeared. We didn't know where the little boat went. 4 hours later, we were at the emergency room getting the little boat out of where Caleb put it. Yeah. I said, "Caleb, what are you doing?" That's awesome that I shared that with everybody. Now Caleb is there. While having their evening dinner together, a little girl looked up at her father and asked, "Daddy, you're the boss in our family, right?" And the father was proud and pleased, and he said, "Yeah," confidently. He replied, "Yes, my little princess, I'm the boss." The girl then continued, "That's because mommy put you in charge, right?" Precious actually believes that in our house. She does. She's like, "Dad, you're afraid of mommy." I said, "I am not afraid of mommy." "Yes, you are, Dad. You are afraid of mommy. You can say all you want, you're not, but you are." I'm like, "Why do you say that?" She says, "Because anytime I ask you something, you go check with mommy first." He said, "Mario's if the man, whatever, man." I said, "That doesn't mean I'm afraid of mommy. I'm not afraid of mommy. I just respect mommy." You know, she swears I'm afraid of mommy. But happy Father's Day to all of the men today. So happy. Happy Father's Day to the father of this house, Dr. Lewis Kayton. Come on, give it up for Dr. Kayton, the father of this house. There's certain men, you know, certain men in your life that absolutely impact you. He was a father to me before I restored my relationship with my real father, and it taught me so much, and I honor him and respect him so much for the legacy that he has provided. Every Father's Day, though, my real dad, he died, but you know, while he was alive, and in the 6 years, I believe that in the 6 years that I had with him, when he came back into my life later, there were some things that stuck. You know, there were some funny things that stuck. You know, he had these sayings, and we call them Steve-isms. He had these Steve-isms, and he was a carpenter by trade, and he could do it just about anything. I mean, the guy could just fix about anything, and he had these things like, you know, he would say, if you weren't swinging your hammer the right way, or you were swinging it too soft, he would say things like, "Hit it like you live, son," which means hit it hard. You know, hit it harder. You're hitting like a girl, you know. No offense, but, you know, he would just say, hit it like you live. And he had these other, like, southern sayings, you know, because he was from Little Rock. He was from down there. He would say, "Don't let your alligator mouth get your lizard tail in trouble," which is funny, you know, because I say these things now. You know, it's weird. Like, if you're here and you're with your parent, or you're with your dad, trust me, you're going to say some of the things he says later in life. You're going to say them. Some of the kids are like, "No, I'm not." Yeah, you will. You'll end up saying them. Then he had this other thing he loved to say, and he'd say this. That makes me laugh. He said, "I'm fixing to feed these chickens." which meant I'm getting ready to go do something. I'm going to go do this. So fond memories of our dad. So for those of you whose fathers have passed, we're praying for you, but we remember our fathers today. So happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. You have your Bible. Go with me. I received the offering already. Yes. You have your Bible. Go with me to Esther, chapter 2. We'll start in verse 5, and we'll stop around 7, around 7. Tell me when you're there. Your computers are working. Your phones are working. Good. Esther 2, verse 5 says, "In Shushan, the citadel, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimeah, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Kish had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives who had been captured with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. Then Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful. When her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, that as it goes forth, it brings power. It brings restoration. It brings revelation. We thank you, Lord, that your word is the most powerful force available to us. So we employ it now to search out the dark places, get rid of doubt, and provide promise to our tomorrow, hope for our tomorrow. We pray, God, that this word today would penetrate us deeply. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The central figure to the story of Esther, you know, normally when you consider the story of Esther, and I would just assume that a lot of things today that you've actually, you know, that you actually know what happened in Esther. Long story short, Esther was of Hebrew descent. Her name was, that Esther was actually her Persian name. Her Hebrew name was Hadassah, as we just read. Hadassah actually means hidden. Esther means myrtle. Hadassah, her Hebrew name, means hidden. Her Persian name means myrtle, or myrrh, or more specifically, the anointing, the shemen. And when you consider that she had these two names, it's quite a lot like God was saying to Esther, I'm going to take what you do in culture, and I'm going to employ the culture, I'm going to employ your spiritual significance in the place where you live. Doesn't matter if you're under bondage, doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter what time in history you live. Esther, my spiritual significance over your life is so powerful that it has the ability to employ the culture of the time you live in and make it serve as its master. It actually is weaved so seamlessly together that God has this ability to take your life, your everyday eating, drinking, breathing life, at work, at school, wherever you are, and he has the ability to take your spiritual assignment, your spiritual purpose, your spiritual name, significance, and twist it all together with where you live in queen, because the other queen was vanquished. So she replaced the queen. Then there was this conspiracy to kill her people and destroy and annihilate the Jews. Mordecai emerges from the sidelines because he was in a position, he had positioned himself, you know, strategically in a place in God where he was able to unravel the evil edicts of Haman, who hijacked the signet ring of the king. And in the end, Esther found herself in a place where she was able to interrupt the evil edict and bring rescue to her people by being at the exact right place where she needed to be. And it says that Mordecai was her uncle who stepped in when her parents died prematurely. The symbolism is breathtaking. The parallels to our culture today, startling. That there will be a generation who are hidden, awaiting for a Mordecai to emerge, to grab them, and to reveal what God had placed in them, what God had hidden in them from before they were born. That time had produced the need and the urgency to reveal Hadassah. And if Hadassah had not been revealed, who knows what would have occurred to that generation. Hidden deep within every one of us. Hidden. Hadassah. Hidden within you is the kingdom. Hidden deep within your heart is the kingdom. And the only way our generation, this time, this place, Ohio, Cleveland, Columbus, the only way it will know the preservation and the revival, the only way it will ever awaken to its spiritual significance is if in our day a Mordecai will emerge, grab the Hadassah, and begin to encourage her and reinforce in her that which was placed there before she was formed in her mother's womb. Because the enemy is coming upon her with such force. The enemy has killed her parents, left her orphaned. Because he realizes he cannot afford to have a queen take her place. He realizes that the church, if she ever gets it, if the church ever could stop striving and working against one another, they will one day wake up and realize that the bride has emerged. And when that bride realizes the authority that she has to interrupt the royal courts of the king at any moment, when that bride gets that, when you and I could get and understand the fact that the thing hidden within us is the very thing that will stop the edicts of the evil one from unfolding in our generation. When we get that, when we stop fighting with one another for false power and things that don't matter, when we start agreeing with one another to see the kingdom within be revealed, when we get to that place, we become a dangerous bride. When Queen Esther got to that place where she said, if I die, I die. But I'm going to the king and I'm asking for his favor. If I die, doesn't matter what happens to me. I'm going to my king and I'm going in and I'm asking. We get to that place. We get to that place, church. But we realize that the bride, when we could realize that what God has put and hidden within us was meant for the preservation of all of us. When we could stop fighting with one another and being intimidated by the hidden thing within you and the hidden thing within you, and realize that that which is hidden in you and that which is hidden in you was meant to preserve us all and bring revival to our land. Amen. Mordecai, I'm going to talk to you. Mordecai, let me help you. Let me speak to you as a Mordecai. You got to stop it. You got to stop looking for love in all the wrong places. You got to stop looking for significance in temporal, carnal pursuits. You've got to focus your pursuits on the one thing that matters. That thing in your heart that is longing for a deep drink of something can only be satisfied through Christ. But we keep suppressing and pushing down what we know to be true, but what we know will cost us everything once we commit to it. Oh, I'm preaching, y'all. We know, listen, men, you know, I know, the person to the right and left knows. You looking at me out there, you know as well as I'm standing here sucking air that if you commit to the King of Kings, then you got to let go of that other stuff. And you're not willing to do that yet. But God says, that thing in your heart, I've hidden that stuff in there. I've hidden that stuff in there. And the only way it can be unlocked and revealed is through the key of David. The key of David found in Isaiah 22, verse 22. He said, he's given me the key of David to unlock kingdoms and principalities and powers. Then there's the Mordecai's who are dictated by the failure and the shame of yesterday. And because of that, we walk in that which happened yesterday, and we're weak today. We're weak. We can't raise Hadassah the way she needs to be raised. We can't prepare the bride the way she needs. We can't handle her with the authority she needs to be handled with, because we're dictated. We're ran by our feelings of inadequacy from what we did yesterday or how we missed it yesterday. Come on, let me get that shame off of you, Mordecai. That does not belong to you. That if you're a Mordecai, I'm telling you, that does not belong to you. That was washed in the blood. And I don't care if your own children try to put that reproach on you. You just shake that stuff off. Don't you let the shame and the inadequacy of yesterday affect how you operate today. I don't care where you missed it. I don't care if you missed it 5 minutes ago. It was covered under the blood. I don't care. Because there is a Hadassah that needs you to unlock the secrets of the kingdom within her heart. The kingdom is within. Jesus said, the kingdom is within you. And then he said this. He said, the mysteries of the kingdom have been given to you. That means there's some stuff. There's some secret stuff. There's some stuff locked up inside of you. And the only way it will ever be unlocked and released is when Mordecai arises and grabs little Esther there and brings her up in the ways of the Lord and teaches her and trains her and whispers in her ear, you are not what they say. You are not that. You are not that. That is from the enemy. That is a conspiracy from Haman. Don't you believe that? That is not who you are. So he raises her. But he doesn't just feed her. He doesn't just put clothes on her back. He realizes, I have the awesome responsibility. Now it's going to get heavy, man. It's going to get heavy. Because he didn't just put clothes on her back. He didn't just put food in her mouth. That's not what a father does. That's not all a father does. Yes, a father does that. Come on. But what a father does, she whispers in her ear, you're not Esther. You're Hadassah. You are not Esther. That's a name that they're trying to give you.
That's the name that bondage, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom is trying to place on you. That's the brand of this kingdom trying to affect you. Don't you listen to him. Your name is Hadassah. Hadassah, you've been hidden. And for such a time as this, the kingdom's waiting for you. You tailor fit for this moment, Esther. Don't you go thinking that you can escape it. This is your moment. Yes, Hadassah, this is your moment. He raises her up. He has the awesome privilege and the responsibility to reinforce in Hadassah her divine assignment, her purpose, and her destiny. And you want me to tell you why the cops are shooting us? Let me tell you why. Because there was missing in our generation the Mordecais who will stand in the gate and look Haman in the face and say, I'm not bowing to you. Look him in the face and say, no, I serve the God of all gods. His name is Yahweh. I don't bow my knee to no. I don't care how strong you think you are. I serve the God of all gods. And I'm not bowing. What we need is Hadassahs to be raised. I'm going to go get Church on North Coast. We're going to go get some kids next week. You are. I'm going to get them, about 120 of them, from the most oppressive, traumatic, abusive, neglected areas of our communities. We're going to snatch them out. I'm going to take them away into the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, we're going to unlock. For 5 days, we're going to unlock what's been hidden in their heart, but covered up. Covered up by pain and abuse and neglect. For 5 days, we're going to call on God. And for 5 days, we're going to whisper in their ear, your name is Hadassah. Your name is Hadassah. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You want to know why it's so messed up out here? Because there's a generation being raised without the understanding that heaven is now, not later. There's a generation walking around with nothing to do, no hope in their pockets, no future for tomorrow. They're living for right now. Born with a pistol in their pocket. Born with on the wrong side of the track. Born with everything stacked against them. Because there was no one there to whisper in their ear. To raise them and say, you are Hadassah. And you're here today, I want you to know. You are Hadassah. There is deep within your heart something that must be released for our generation. Listen to what Jesus says. He says in Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. It's hidden in a field. It's hidden. The kingdom's hidden. It's in a field. A man found and he hid it. And for joy, he goes and he sells all that he has. And then in Mark 4:22 it says this, for there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. You know what that tells me? That tells me that Jesus is not down. He's not down with generations keeping the secrets of heaven. He's not down for us to come into a service and get goosebumps and get the Holy Ghost thrills and never manifest or release the promises that he's placed deep within us. Never let the secret out. That tells me that a lot of us are suppressing. A lot of us are pushing down what God's hidden in our hearts. A lot of us. And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let you do it. You're not allowed. He raises Hadassah. He brings her up and he teaches her what it's like to spend time with a king. Now remember, she was living under the oppression of Nebuchadnezzar. Israel was under bondage. They were slaves. They were slaves. So Mordecai was so anointed. Mordecai was so anointed that he spoke to a little slave girl. And he convinced that little slave girl that she could be the queen. Do you understand that you should be the queen? You should be the king. The preaching that goes forward is not here to make you, give you this euphoric feeling. It is there, though, to awaken the king and the queen within you. Because if that king and that queen does not wake up, you hear this. If you don't wake up, generations are locked up because you refuse to wake up. Esther 2:21. In those days, while Mordecai sat within the gate, the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigthan and Teresh, they were doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on the king. In the king's gate were a place of favor. You couldn't be in the king's gate unless you were appointed there by the king. Acts 3:2 says this. There was a certain man lame from his mother's womb. He was carried, and they laid daily at the gate, which is called Beautiful. He would go to the gate to ask for alms. Genesis 22:17 says, blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. Colossians 3:1 declares, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Mordecai was positioned in the gate of the king, which meant he had the favor of the king, and he was appointed by the king to sit in a strategic place on behalf of the king. You and I must begin to find the gates of our king. You and I must realize that the favor of the king is upon us, that there is an appointment for us, that there is a strategic place designed for us to be in. When you and I can put ourselves in the strategic place of the king, you'll be in a position that goes beyond the kingdoms of this world. And you'll be able to unravel the evil of our day. We spend so much time screaming and hollering at demons. We spend so much time binding this and binding that. What we ought to find more time in doing is locating the gates of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If we could come into His gates with praise and thanksgiving, if we could learn to sit in the gates in the favor of our King, if we could learn to position ourselves in that which He has appointed to us, But that comes with something. You can't get favor and appointment without intimacy. We can bind all day and loose all day, but if there be no intimacy, there be no authority in the binding and the loosing. Because you can't even get to the gates. You're not even allowed to be near the gates of your king. You get near the gates, you get kicked out because there's no intimacy. Because you're not allowed to just go in there. You can't just walk up in here, sit down in the atmosphere that I'm laying down, and then say, just because I'm here, that affords me the authority and the right to act on behalf of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You come in here with some kind of funky attitude, not respecting or honoring the atmosphere of heaven up in here. I promise you, you can bind and loose all you want. It's not going nowhere. The only way it's going somewhere is if you and the King of Kings have some intimacy. but if you and the King, if you have the King's favor, if you have the King's favor. I walked into a meeting the other day with senators, but you know what? I didn't have a civic badge. I don't belong to this group or that group, the red or the blue. I belong to the kingdom. But what I do have is the favor of the King. What I do carry is the appointment of my Father. So it don't matter where I go with the favor of God. I go with the appointment of God, and you can't do nothing about it. I got access to the third realm of the heavenlies of heavenlies. I'm up there where that stuff rules all the other stuff. But we're trying to fight a fight in our generation with policy and bureaucracy and politics and civic laws. And God said, lest Hadassah gets next to the king. Unless she gets the favor of the king. You don't have the favor of the king. You walk in there and die. You walk in there and feel like you're going to die. Right? You ever walk into something and feel like, this is about to kill me. But then there are other times you walk into stuff and you say, I should feel worse than I feel right now. But I feel pretty confident about my odds of winning this thing. I don't care what they say or that. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but I trust in the Lord. I'm not really afraid. It says that Mordecai found himself a place. My question is, where are you sitting? Where do you find yourself sitting? Are you sitting in the gates of your king? Or do you find yourself sitting in the luxuries? Do you find yourself being more allured by the Persian princes? Do you find yourself, feeling more comfortable in the bar on Friday nights than you do in the courts on Sunday mornings? Where are you sitting? Because where you sit tells me a lot about how intimate you are with your king. I guarantee you, Esther was not found sitting in lowly places. I guarantee you, where Esther sat was an appointed place next to her king on the throne. You are the bride of Christ. You have this authority. You are seated. What does it say? You are seated with Christ. That means you have an appointed place with your Savior. Oh. You have an appointed place with your King. That appointed place affords you now the right and the privilege to bind the enemy, to loose the enemy, to undo the works of the devil, to destroy the works of the enemy for your day, because you have an appointment. My question to you is, church, do you know your appointed place in God? Then it says this, Esther 8, verse 2. I'll close with this. Y'all could come up here and worship. Says the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and he gave it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. That's when you just drop the word. The king took off his signet ring. He took it from the enemy. He gave it to Mordecai. Then the queen, then the church appointed Mordecai over the house of her enemy. Now you are possessing the gates of your enemy through the authority of the king and his signet ring. The signet ring. Let me read a couple texts, then we'll come back. Ephesians 1, we'll start in verse 15. It said, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this age, but that one which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Oh my goodness. Luke 15:22. The father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. Put it on him. Put it on him. I declare over every Mordecai under the sound of my voice, put it on. Put it on. He put a ring on his hand. He put a ring on his hand. He put a signet ring on his hand. And he put sandals on his feet. Song of Solomon 8, verse 6 says, set me as a seal upon your heart and as a seal upon your arm. The signet ring was used when royal decrees would be issued. They'd be written. They folded up. Drip the wax down, let it set. Then they take the king's signet ring. They push it in here. Y'all know this. They push it in there. Once that seal hit that wax, done. It is finished. Solomon said that something glorious happened when the blood started dripping. That when that blood covered you on that day, when you gave your heart to him, Solomon said that he took the signet ring and he pressed it on your arm, and then he pressed it on your heart, sealing the covenant, placing on you and me all the authority and the power from the king, sealing it on your heart so as to prevent it from deceiving you in moments of confusion. He said, I'm going to seal my love for you on your heart. Next time you start doubting my love for you, I want you to take a look at the seal of my power and my authority that's been placed on your heart. Then I want you to look over to your right hand, your right arm, and look at that. I've now locked your heart to mine, and now I'm going to lock your work to mine. I'm not going to allow you to do another king's work. I'm not going to relinquish your work in the earth for any other spirit but the Holy Spirit's work. God is declaring it. Took that ring off of Haman and he gave it to Mordecai. Mordecai, time for you to put your ring back on. There are a bunch of charlatans running around. Imposters of authority. Trying to redefine morality according to civic edicts. When the signet ring belongs to the children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who resides in the heavenly realms, that the powers and principalities of darkness have no—they have no competition with lesser kingdoms of the world. The Bible declares that the kingdoms of this earth are becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. The Bible is declaring to you and me, time to put back on your signet ring. Time to begin now to operate. Mordecai, you have power. You have authority. You've surrendered your heart to the king. He took it. He sealed you. You can stop running. You can stop pretending. The call is never going to go away. The Holy Ghost will never stop. He is relentless. His love, it doesn't end. He'll chase you down. He'll wear you out in Jesus' name. Come on, let's stand to our feet as we close today. My altar ministers, if you'll come forward. Altar ministers are coming forward. If you're here today, something I know. Something I know. You feel that? You feel the atmosphere? Come on, you feel that? That tells me that it's ready. That tells me that it's ready. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. Don't walk away from it. If you're here, listen. You don't want to come forward? Don't come forward. Don't come forward. I'm not here to stroke my ego. I don't care if you don't come forward, but here's what I do care about. That the seal of the king gets your heart. That the seal of the king meets your heart in a melted moment. This is a moment that has been melted by the Holy Ghost. Don't you walk out of here without the authority, the power, the position of the king. Huh? Without unveiling and releasing what is hidden within you. Don't you walk out of here until that happened. You could do that right in your seat with me right now. Come on, everybody, close your eyes. Bow your heads. Father, I pray now. Reveal the kingdom within each and every person under the sound of my voice. I declare to you to reveal. Release. Awaken to the righteousness of your God. You're watching me online. Awaken to the righteousness of your God. I pray over you now and declare in Jesus' name, you find your royal position in the gates of your King through intimacy. Found in loving the Savior. Return to your first love if you've lost it. Come on back home if you've lost it. If you've never known it, it's as simple and easy as calling upon the name of Jesus. He said, if you call, I'll answer. I'll come and I'll rescue. I'll create in you a new heart. I'll take your sin. You take my righteousness. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God, that now you give us back the signet ring we allowed Haman to steal from us. He's been stealing, killing, and destroying. But today we declare, for this reason was I born, to undo the works of Haman in my generation. This is the reason I was born. Put your ring back on. Put your authority back on. Come against shame and reproach. I come against condemnation and a spirit of failure. I declare your Father loves you and he's proud of you. He has a plan for you and he has a purpose for you. He has a destiny for your life. You have something to do now that impacts all of the kingdom. You're that significant. You're that important. I declare all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a great big hand as we close. If this is your first time with us, if you're a guest today, I'd love to meet you. Where am I doing this meeting? Somebody tell me where I'm meeting everyone. I'm going to meet back there. I'm going to meet you back there in a few minutes. Thank you. I'd love to meet with you. If this is your first time, I'm going to go back there in a few seconds and meet with you. If you'd like prayer, we want to pray for you. Listen, don't walk out of here the same way you came in. If you came in sick, leave well. Amen. We believe that Jesus still heals, makes alive, restores. He does all things great. Come and receive prayer before you leave. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. Tell somebody about Jesus this week. Let them know. God bless you. Heals, makes alive, restores. He does all things great. Come and receive prayer before you leave. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. Tell somebody about Jesus this week. Let them know. God bless you.
This is Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you took the time to listen into the podcast today. If you like what you heard, you can go to the website cnclove.org for more. You are a culture creator. Go out today and create culture. Make the world a better place, a more hopeful place. It was a pleasure being with you.